Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey everybody, welcome to More Than That. This is a podcast where we take the pastor or the speaker from this past Sunday and pull them aside and ask them if they had 10 extra minutes, what would they have talked about, where would they have gone, and I'm sitting here with...
Rafael Mganda.
And my name is Tyler Henry. So, Rafael, if you had 10 extra minutes, where would you have gone, what would you have said?
I mean, so one of the things that just blew me away when I was looking at that, you know, the passage that we looked at on the tabernacle is reading the book of Numbers and Leviticus in my Bible reading and getting to see, for example, the two sons of Aaron who go in there and they smoke strange fire and then they totally died right there and there. Mm-hmm. And the people will protest that. And like, just watching like how dangerous this tent was. Right? Looking at how dangerous that tent was. And because of that, really now wanting to, I would spend more time just like, putting more gravity, spending more time just showing all these people that try to access that presence without the mediation of a priest.
Yeah.
And shown how dangerous that is. And I think God's holiness is something that really has become very undermined. Because of just like now having, for us, we really like, when we look at and we say, okay, now Christ has bridged that gap, at least the idea of holiness is also something that like really needs a lot more gravity. So, this is what A.W. Tozer says when he's looking at, God's holiness, meditating on, especially like when you look at Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah is before God and he sees God as holy. He says we must not think of God as the highest in an ascending order of beings, starting with a single cell, going up to the from the fish to the bird to the animal to the angel to the cherub to the cherub to God.
Mm-hmm.
Right, God is as high above an archangel as above a caterpillar. For the gulf that separates the archangel from the caterpillar is but finite, but while the gulf between God and the archangel are infinite, the whole earth is full of his glory. And so basically the whole idea there is when we're looking at God's holiness, we, because of where we live right now, if you neglect reading like maybe the book of Exodus, Numbers, and Leviticus, or even Joshua, all those places, even in Joshua, when Achan steals,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, and just really things that like where you get to see how dangerous the presence of God is. And the more you see that, then it should lead us to what I would actually say, because we don't see how dangerous it is and how grave just access of the presence of God is, it's so easy then for us to take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
To take maybe really like, I would spend even more time just like maybe just teasing out, hey, you know, I asked that question, are you taking advantage of the access you've been given? Like, because like if for you, Tyler, like let's say for example, I go and like I bring you, let's say, a cup of coffee, mm-hmm. and like David when he's like, hey, I long for the waters of such a whale, mm-hmm. and his men go and literally fight through to go get him a cup from there, and David is like, I'm not even worthy to drink this. There's something about it when you know that there's someone bought something at a high price, and it helps you not to take it for granted. Mm-hmm. The presence of God. Today, when we pray in Jesus' name. And a lot of times that's become very light.
Yeah.
No, it's like we don't realize that, like, in Jesus' name, you know, Brian Chappell wrote a book called Praying Backwards. Mm-hmm. That, like, we pray in Jesus' name. Because we're acknowledging that something has already been done on our behalf. In Jesus' name, Jesus is the door. Jesus is that curtain. Jesus is everything. He's the tabernacle itself. He's everything. And literally, like, now we now have this open access to him. So I think that's going to be the biggest thing that as Christians we need to be awakened to recognizing that, man, Jesus, what he has given, we have this high privilege access.
Yeah.
And, but yet, that's actually like, what are some of just the practical things of actually like ways we take that for granted? You know, when I'm stressed out, What do I do? Do I remember that I've got access? Mm-hmm. When I'm in dire circumstances, when I'm depressed, when I'm lacking, when I feel like I've sinned and done all, do I remember that there's someone who's purchased for me access? Mm-hmm. And the best imagery, this is actually where I was going to take it to. The best imagery is recognizing, like, do you remember the prodigal son, the younger brother? But what does he do, like, when he's down there tempted to eat with the pigs? He remembers what his father has. He remembers that, like, my father's house is this. I'm going to go, and I'm even going to be a servant there just to be, like, instead of eating with the pigs. Like, I think that's actually, like, half the times we're almost eating with the pigs. Half the times we're almost eating the dirt. Like, the enemy is throwing dirt over mm-hmm. us and stuff like that. Like, and he remembers his dad. But then when he finally gets there, dad says, no, you take him, wash him, give him everything. He's, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's actually us. Through Jesus, we've got that access. Where yeah. literally now we can enter in. And then also as well, just like looking and through sonship and adoption, we also have that access of like the older brother. When he's complaining, he's like, the older brother longed for parties. He longed for, mm-hmm. he longed to actually enjoy what the father had, but he never asked. Mm-hmm. That's like actually also just like the thing of like, do we take advantage of the access? The father looks at him and says, everything I have is yours. Mm-hmm. And you could have asked for me to kill a goat for you and we could have thrown yeah. a party. Like, that's actually probably like what, like, that's a whole message on its own, like, of like, hey, like, what is actually like, what is it that like right now you're struggling with that like maybe might be traced back to you're not taking advantage of your access? right? It's just one of those things. It's like, what is it that in your life right now is so out of whack that literally, like, everything you need for that is already there?
Yeah.
And I could go a million different ways where literally, like, it's like, we are sons, but we live as, is that a word? A paupers, like, we live as, like, beggars.
Yeah, yeah. We are sons. I knew what you were getting at with pauper,
live as orphans. We are sons.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that, like, if I was Satan, that would be the first thing I would try to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you're adopted. Yes, you're going to spend eternity with God. Yes, you. But I'm going to try by all means to actually undermine your access. Like, and that's actually, like, if you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, when they're in Dungeon of Despair, the only thing they had to remember was, like, he's like, oh, foolish me. And what does he remember? He has the key of promise. And that key of promise opens every door out of that dungeon, and they're on their way back to the Celestial City. So that's my 10 minutes.
So, like, one of the things that I was, like, that I was thinking of was when you mentioned, like, that was what Satan, if you were Satan, that's what you would do. I'd kind of, like, try to undermine that access. Mm-hmm. And it almost seems as if Satan is, like, he's actually doing that.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's like, yeah, we are adopted, but what he tries to get us to do is to still see ourselves as orphans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like I'm rewatching a series of unfortunate events right now with my wife. And which I love. That I grew up with, like, reading the books and everything like that. And it's just, you know, it's kind of nostalgic for me. But they're orphans.
Yeah.
And every time they go into a new like caretaker, aunt, uncle, whatever, you have Count Olaf coming in and saying, no, you're still orphans.
Yeah.
He calls them the Baudelaire orphans, or just the orphans. He doesn't actually call them
by name.
He doesn't call them by name. He doesn't, like, it's not like, oh, it's, you know, Uncle Monty's kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Baudelaire orphans.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of, it just reminds me of that.
Yeah.
But also, like, it almost seems that we could take advantage in the opposite direction, in a negative way.
Yeah.
Like, where we become some, or our mindset becomes more that we can control God rather than us coming to Him.
Mm.
Is that something that's possible?
I would say the negative way is probably, like, taking advantage of access the negative way. At least the first side is, like, yeah, controlling God.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly, actually, like, the, maybe, actually, now let's actually, like, let's, because this is down your lane. in the fact of relaxing His holiness.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea that, like, now we can be churches that are, like, oh no, we're okay with everybody's sin. We don't confront that. We're gonna, like, Jesus just loves everybody. He does, like, all that. That's also taking a, that's, I would say maybe that's literally, like, taking for granted that access. That, like, literally, like, all we're saying is that, like, oh, okay, the door is open. Well, we don't even need a door in this thing. We just can totally open into everything.
Yeah.
And then forget that, bro, you burn strange fire in this mug. Okay, let me say it in English. You burn strange fire in His temple. Like, it results in a very terrible consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you see, the scary part about that is the fact that, like, if we think, oh, yeah, everything is up for grabs now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not Marcionites. Like, I will go back to who Marcion is. Marcion is the one who basically divides the Bible and says, okay, we're going to edit everything. We're going to totally remove the God of the Old Testament because He was angry God.
Mm-hmm.
This New Testament God is a loving one. So let's forget Him. Let's take this one, right?
Which we see today.
Yeah, we still see that. That's what I'm saying. because like God's holiness makes it so uncomfortable, so we then were like, mm-hmm. oh, we've got access through Jesus, so forget holiness. Yeah. But there's a couple of incidents that happened in the New Testament that totally squashed that, like, oh, he's still the same God, don't get it twisted. He's still not safe, but he's good.
Mm-hmm.
And at least those two events are like Acts chapter 5 and then Acts chapter, I think, 10 or 11, somewhere there.
Yeah.
Acts chapter 5, like, Peter, like, Ananias and Sapphira, they are like, oh, okay. Like, we can do, like, a half-hearted kind of give God a half-hearted, what, like, sacrifice. Everybody mm-hmm. else is claiming to have given everything, so we can keep half, we can give half. Let's just do that. Mm-hmm. And but then, bro, they die right on the spot. Like they walk into the temple, die right on the spot. What is God communicating? No. Holiness is still a what?
Mm-hmm.
Be holy as I am holy, as Peter is going to write.
Yeah.
He's like, Peter, when he's writing, be holy as I am holy, he is not writing that from any other. He's like, bro, I have seen this thing. Two people fell dead in my watch. And then the other one, like, and I think it's in Acts chapter 10 or 11, is Herod,
mm-hmm.
who is actually like, he boss. People are singing his praise, and then all of a sudden he's like, I'm like a god. And then all of a sudden, boom, he's knocked out. And that's actually like where we get to see that, like, that he's still the same. So I think we can take advantage of it in a negative, of his presence in a negative way, in just us thinking that, like, oh, okay, God has relaxed his holiness. Mm-hmm. No, but he has not. He's still the same. And that's actually now, like, where the Bible's going to call us to work out our salvation with what? With fear and trembling. Because even through Jesus, we're still face to face with the Holy God. And I saw a lot of people like kind of cringe when I say the terrible presence of God. It's still a terrible presence.
It is. Well, and that's where it's really, and this is like one of the issues that I have with like the church.
Yeah.
In general, we're too literal with our language.
Yeah.
Like, and we don't allow for poetic language to be used when we're talking about God, but yet we have the Psalms.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, like, you know, if you take that literally, that it's a terrible presence, then you're automatically going to think something that's 100% negative.
Mm-hmm.
But it's terrible in that if we don't do what he's asking, it's a terrible thing for us, but it's, God's still God and he's still consistent.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like, to throw the controversial song out there, Reckless Love.
Yeah.
Like, if we take it too literally, then there's, all we see is that negative word of reckless. Yeah. We don't see this unending, that he will do nothing. There's nothing he won't do to get to us. And that's what, like, the reckless, like the kamikaze pilots and stuff, they were reckless in what they were doing. And nothing was going to stop them from completing their mission.
Yeah.
But like with Ananias and Sapphira, it's like, you know, going and coming to God with everything that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, Jesus even said in Matthew 22 in verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. And then in other gospels, it says strength as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it's just talking about the complete person.
Yeah, the complete,
And how if we leave half of ourselves out, like whether it's work or your home life, could be whatever.
Yeah.
If you're not submitting the entirety of yourself to God, then I think a fair question to ask is, do I really love God enough to give him everything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's actually good that we can take advantage of it negatively or positively. Yeah,
that's one of the things that, like, especially with all of these, like, a lot of people are sometimes throwing like New Age beliefs into Christianity and doing a lot of like very syncretistic thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, that's not what the gospel is there for.
Yeah.
You can't just marry certain, like, whatever you want
you
to.
You can't marry that. Yeah.
So, like, I brought that up specifically because we're seeing that more often now.
Yeah, we're seeing that more often. Yeah, we just, like, and that's actually what goes back to, like, at least a consistent thing that we see here.
Mm-hmm.
Is God says it, I think it's in Exodus 25:9, and then 26:30, and he's going to say it like over and over, make sure you follow the pattern
mm-hmm.
that I've told you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this is actually like where today we need to recognize we can't come up with our own versions of
mm-hmm.
Christianity. No. If God was making the church the temple, he's building it together to be a temple, mm-hmm. he's doing it his way, not the way we, oh no, I just mm-hmm. don't like it that way. I just like, you know, mm-hmm. I just don't, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
all these other things where at the end of the day, then we make excuses for certain sins and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And we allow, like, simply because that's just our version of what we want.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not who God is.
Yeah.
That's a... God is still gonna, that's why now, like, and you've really kind of just, like, you've talked to me quite a lot about this, of just, like, hey, like, are we making sure that we're faithful to Scripture? We are mm-hmm. faithful to Scripture. Why? Because we don't want to build man's kingdom. We want to make sure
yeah.
we build the church as it said.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do it instead of actually our own crazy minds. Of like, oh yeah, I think this would be a cool kind of church, and
mm-hmm.
then we go yeah. into our own.
Well, and it's not a bad thing to critique something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
you can call something in a critique, mm. and like, I mean, God's totally cool with it. Like
yeah.
Jesus never turned down a question.
Mm-hmm.
He might have given his own little version of like a snide remark or a snide answer to it, but he still answered it in a way that was truthful, but made you feel a little bad for asking it.
Yeah,
it's like, come
yeah.
on, dude. But like, you know, it's okay to critique
mm-hmm.
Even a theological system, or like, you know, you're my pastor.
Mm.
If you look at my notes, I'm like, every so often, I'm like, okay, this system here, just making stuff for myself. Like,
yeah.
this passage doesn't fall under this system the way that it wants it to, and then. Like, if I know where you align on it, I'm like, hey, you know, what do you think about this? Like, throwing a critique towards you as somebody who's, like, supposed to be shepherding over me.
Yeah.
And, you know, calling you into accountability for being faithful to Scripture.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that you've really fostered here. At City Church specifically, like, you know, we ask...
questions, yeah.
We ask questions.
Hmm.
You take questions, like, for kind of like a shameless plug. Like, we haven't gotten many questions recently, but, like, if you're here and you see or you notice something and you want to ask the speaker a question, we have a form on our app that you can
yeah.
do that, and then we'll talk about it here.
Yeah, we'll talk. Yeah, there you go.
As long as it's on topic, at least.
Hey, but it might be off.
Even if it's off topic, if it's a good question, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you know, we'll talk about it there. Like, that questioning is okay. And that's something that I think we need to do as
yeah.
as the church.
No, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I to tell you the truth, I was really kind of like, these are scriptures that many just avoid to preach out of.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just been in praise to God for carrying us through and
yeah.
And just really, I hope this is very helpful for people to be able to like and read through these kind of passages. But recognize, like, I think, like, for me, what's been blowing me away, like, when it comes to the tabernacle, is the fact that, like, it has set a very good foundation for me to understand Hebrews.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it has made Hebrews come alive.
Yeah.
Like, what does it mean when it says enter, but with boldness? Like,
mm-hmm.
no, enter with boldness, because you couldn't enter here at all. Like,
yeah.
What does it mean to say Jesus has passed? You know, mm-hmm. He is our living way. You know,
mm-hmm.
like we have this hope that is an anchor for our souls behind the curtain. Like, what does that look like? What is it?
Mm-hmm.
So the more we understand this, the more actually it really now infuses us with so much gospel growth and hope in the New Testament. So really, just like I would say, spend some time, more and more time, reading these things, because they're so helpful. So I'm saying this to say that, like, this is why we have a model here at our church where we say we're going to preach through even some of the Old Testament rough texts, because they all lead us towards actually, like, understanding Jesus and loving him even more better, you know. So
Well, and those books are really difficult in and of themselves, so having and doing exactly that is you know, it helps you get through something that you typically wouldn't go to, like, by yourself.
We could all be anyway, that's that.
But thank you, thank you for taking us through something like that, though, because it is difficult. This first sermon series that I've been through personally that goes through something this kind of, like, for lack of a better term, obscure. At least for the modern church. But just wanted to remind all of you that are listening to get plugged in with a local church, and that this is not it's not a replacement for being involved in a local church. It's not a replacement for the Sunday sermon. Like, we encourage you to go back and listen to it, and to just get plugged in. If you are already at a local church and you're not serving, we encourage you to do that. You're going to see a lot of growth through that in the gospel and loving people as Christ did. But also, if you don't have a church home and you're within our city, we'd love to see you. We'd love to meet you and come alongside you, and just grow in the gospel with you. So, Raphael, thank you.
Thank you.
And have a good week, guys. God bless.